And welcome back to the Space Kiesera Show with Kermit the Frog and space nerds Kavi and Benjamin. Today
really
we're talking about fluorine and some of the conspiracies that people tend to associate with the space industry.
Wow.
Oh my God. Well, you know what's going to be the visual promo for this episode.
I gotta tell you. I'll do one later. I'll pack off camera.
Okay. yeah, welcome back. We're going to talk about space conspiracies, and I think Kavi is like committed now to doing it in Kermit the Frog voice the whole time.
No, I'm not Kermit. I'm just the Muppet who writes for space, actually.
If you did not catch our first segment, we're a little bit inspired by some hate mail, if you will, hate comments that science actually has been getting recently, and Kavi very astutely was like, man, aren't people always so nice on the internet? No. You know, keyboard warriors, they're a thing. And in the space industry, you know, go to any live stream of NASA and you will be shocked at how many, like, that's a fake image, watch it cut out, blah, 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 things like that that are just flooding the chats. It's like, I have this suspicion that probably none of them are employed and that's all they have to do is just sit around and critique NASA. So let's hit it. Let's hit the list. 25 space conspiracies that just won't go away. And the number one listed, and I would agree, is that the Apollo moon landings were faked. And, the reasoning is, you know, people go, oh, you can't see any stars in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That the way that the light is reflecting on the moon versus the astronaut's shadow is like inaccurate. And then kind of famously, the third is that the flag looks like it's waving. Do any of you know the reasons for the why these are the way that they are?
Sure. First, the stars.
Yeah. First of all, justice for actually science right now. Like, this is your moment.
Yeah.
Redemption.
Punching back.
Let's start with the stars. If you go outside at night tonight and you look at the stars, they're going to be beautiful. If someone shines a flashlight in your eye while you're looking at the stars or even nearby, you're not going to see the stars anymore. You're going to see the much closer, brighter light. The similar effect happened with the TV cameras that we had in the pictures we took on the cameras we took on the moon. Stars are very faint, and something that was much closer to the camera and much brighter was the moon, the lander, the bright white outfits of the astronauts themselves. They reflect enough light, not a blinding amount of light, but enough light to kind of diffuse the background stars. Is why you couldn't see them. And the moon, the flag wasn't waving. The flag is just kind of hanging. And if you position it in such a way, it's just going to stay there.
Right. I read too that they had metal rods sewn in them to appear that, you know, to appear the motion or sorry to use the word erectness of the flag, because otherwise it just would have hung down. Sorry. Because otherwise it just would have hung down and it wouldn't have been a very photogenic picture. So, because there is gravity on the moon. So there's enough, obviously, for astronauts to stand and hold them mm-hmm. down. So there, yes. That would have easily pulled down the flag. And the fact that this constantly persists is so comical to me, because we have mirrors on the moon that they use to measure the distance between the Earth and the moon with lasers. They bounce light off of the mirrors. So mm-hmm. I guess unless aliens left those mirrors there, I would really love to understand how those got up there.
The mental gymnastics that are associated with these sort of conspiracies, kind of like, you know, they'll say reasons ABC of, you know, why we didn't go to the moon, and then you'll say something like that, right, where like there's clear evidence that now somebody has been, and then they'll basically like shift the goalposts and say, well, okay, so they put that there later, but they didn't go then. And it's right. Like, dude,
right,
come on.
Well, and speaking of mental gymnastics, I I love the meme that always is floating around that's like, clearly anyone who thinks that like these conspiracy theories at this level can be kept a secret by so many people have not worked on a group project.
Ooh, yeah. There's math there. There's actually, there was a paper that was put out a few years ago where basically they looked in terms of like mathematically what it looks like, how long a secret can be kept as a function of how many people are involved in the secret. And basically that time period goes to like zero when you have a group of more than, I think it was 25 people, right? So like if you have two people working on something, they have to keep a secret, like maybe they can keep it for a few years or, you know, till the day they die. You have, you know, 10 people, maybe it'll last for a few years. But when you have thousands of people across different continents and decades mm-hmm. working on a project,
right?
No, just like
math doesn't lie.
Not to mention, I think it was nearly a million spectators who went to every single Apollo launch and literally with their own eyes watched it go up and then not come back down because right. it was in space.
No, they're just hiding behind the clouds.
How many hundreds of pounds of moon rocks that they were brought back and delivered to universities and laboratories all around the world that were right. being studied independently of each other. And they all come to the same conclusion that this did not come from Earth. How did that happen? That's a heck of a prop.
It is. And that's a really good segue into their second, what is one of the biggest conspiracies. And I think it ties in well, is that NASA itself is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
No, that the whole thing is CGI. Everything is just stages and puppetry. And that the whole entire thing is faked, which even to the credit of the author of this article, like they don't even know how to really address that. They're like, just go to Kennedy, you know, like go to a rocket launch. I don't even know how that, I don't know. I sometimes, right, you just, there is nothing you can say and you just have to walk away. And that is something that I encourage. Also, again, shout out to Steve. I'm like, Steve, just walk away. Like, don't even engage this.
I think something that I want to relate back to that wonderful Carl Sagan quote that you mentioned before in terms of, you know, the scientific method being the best method that we have, even if it's imperfect at times, is the idea of Russell's teapot. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with it.
No.
So British philosopher Bertrand Russell had this idea of, you know, if somebody was to come up and claim to you that there is a teapot that is orbiting the sun between the orbits of Earth and the orbits of Mars, the burden of proof to make, you know, if you're making such a ridiculous claim, the burden of proof is on you to make this claim, right? Like if you're gonna, you know, talk shit, bring receipts. But the thing is, the thing is that when it comes to NASA and when it comes to like the incredible work that the space industry, the you know, and astronomers and astrophysicists have been doing for the better part of a century, we have the receipts, we have the math, we have the physics, we have every possible element from the scientific method to back up that the things we're saying we're seeing and measuring are indeed the real things that we're seeing and measuring. But the conspiracy theorists who say, oh, no, it's just a spy agency, or no, it's just CGI, it's just a feeling that they have. And they're making this claim that, you know, tens of thousands of people across decades are all lying and everything is faked. But it's just like a feeling they have. They don't actually have any substantial proof to back up their ridiculous claim. So as far as I'm concerned, they're all a bunch of teapots.
Well, there we go.
Nicely
teapots.
Put.
Teapots. Well, burden of proof. I don't know if you've seen this documentary called Beyond the Curve, but the next on our list is that the Earth is flat, and Beyond the Curve is phenomenal if you have not seen this documentary, because they go about the scientific method wrong, but they are trying to prove that the Earth is flat by performing experiments throughout the documentary. Unbelievably, these seem to not work. And that's even how it ends, is that they're trying to shoot a laser straight out over, you know, the water to go through two very precise holes that, you know, if a laser is going straight and if the Earth is flat, it would go straight. And it doesn't line up, and oh my God, right? And that's when it cuts out. I do believe, I've done some research on these people too. They still are very adamant flat earthers. So again, you know, it's very confirmation bias. Nothing will disprove or change their belief system because nothing
that's
is enough.
My favorite thing about flat earthers, my absolute favorite thing about them. I even have my notes here, my list of conspiracy notes. One says flat earth. Says don't waste your breath on it. But to their credit, sort of, and much to my amusement, is they try to use science to prove that the earth is flat.
Yeah.
And the problem, and they beautifully prove that the earth is round time and time and time again. And that's when their brick wall goes up that something's wrong with the machines or the systems they're using. My favorite example is a guy brought a level with him on a flight around to the other side of the world on a cross ocean flight. And he has his level on his little drink tray in front of him and he's recording it. And his complaint is, I've been flying for hours and the level is still level. Surely I should have curved over by now and the bubble would have moved. And I love that he did an experiment. I love, 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 love it. But what's entertaining is that the level is being perfectly level. It's turning with him as he's going over and around there.
And it's ridiculous. We need a GoFundMe. And we need to raise money. No, like this is going to be the charity. This is going to be like the way that I give back to the Earth. I will raise money to send flat earthers to space.
Yes. It's the overview effect. Let them go up 100%. There. Let them see. Oh.
Right.
Make them go up
right
there.
Back.
Right. Well, and I, you know what? I guess I have to give you credit in saying that, at least to their credit, they do try, because compared to, say, like young Earth creationists who get backed up into a wall so quickly where they just have to go, well, that's just the way it was made, you know, and that's to me the greatest escape out of jail card you could ever throw. At least, yeah, I do agree. That is admirable on their part. Still silly, but admirable. Next just, on the list. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, science isn't always intuitive. It doesn't always have to make sense to us. And so the fact that they're doing experiments that either are faulty in like the way that they're set out, or they don't know how to interpret the results properly, like that's not, they're trying. But like, I think it's important to look at what the experts are doing, because people who spend, you know, a decade learning how to do science will be better at doing science than somebody who, you know, is sitting in their mom's basement and posting mean comments to Benjamin's Facebook. yeah. I'm sorry, Ben. It's okay. The Muppet can't hurt you.
Yeah, who's the Muppet writer? I mean, who are the Muppets running the show, too? Next on the list is that Planet Nine will kill us.
Oh.
And
I love Planet Nine.
I want you guys to take this one, because you both just gave the best facial reactions.
I have read a couple articles that have on space.com and I believe even NASA.gov that a theory for a possible Planet Nine, just because of that little gravitational nudge that's like barely measurable out there. A theory was a baseball-sized black hole. You can't see it, but it's teeny tiny, and it's a black hole.
Teapot.
I love that theory, but I don't think it's feasible, because I think a black hole has to be more massive than that. It would surely fizzle out, I would assume. But I don't know. I'll leave that one to Kavi.
Okay, so I have a few things to say about this whole Planet Nine thing. I mean, we can start from the fact that, like, I think the Wikipedia page, which is flagged as being like conspiratorial and not backed up for Planet Nine, I think for the longest time it had a picture of Planet Nine there, but it was a picture of a red giant star, not a planet. So that's just firstly. Secondly, out of the orbit of Pluto, and this is one of the reasons why Pluto was declassified as a planet, there are a lot of dwarf planets. There are a lot of rocky objects. There are things out there that are small rocky things. Now, it is true that astronomers are looking for other, you know, objects that could be of that size. And there might be something out there, something Pluto-sized or smaller or around that. However, the idea of there being something that is more gravitationally dominant than Pluto, especially at the level of a black hole, is something that is very fringe scientifically, because there is just, there's a lot of proof. All of the proof points in the other direction, right? Whenever we discovered, I think all of the planets past Saturn and Jupiter were all discovered as a result of gravitational tugging that was happening, mm-hmm. right? Where like the planets are orbiting around the sun. And then if one isn't orbiting the way that it would if it was only being pulled in by the sun, they realize, oh, there must be something pulling it from the other side, right? And so that's how they found out that the, you know, the outer ice giants were there. So if you had a black hole in the outer part of our solar system, we would notice it. We would see its effects. If it was a very small black hole, which is not super likely that it's there, it would be weird that it happened to have formed there. If it's a baseball-sized black hole, I mean, it's kind of like this. It's Occam's razor would be the best way to put it. Mm. Occam's razor suggests that the simplest solution is often like the correct solution. So yes, there are all of these like what's called a fine-tuning problem in physics, where basically if you look and set the details of how something might have potentially maybe happened, it could be maybe hypothetically possible. But realistically, all signs point away from that.
Well, there you have it. I think this is the one over. That you guys got like the most excited about too. So Planet Nine, boo-boo. We're going to take a break. And like I said, I don't even think we're going to get off this first page of the list here, because they're so, I don't want to say inflammatory, because that seems like a very negative word, but they are. They're so like, oh my God. And then we just have to delve into them. So we'll get back to this list when we return. You are listening to the Space Caesara Show with the Space Nerds, Kabi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.